Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is a live prophecy reality edition, and we're going into, it's day 100 of the plandemic, the COVID plandemic, or covert march to the mark of the beast. I've been looking a little bit at this contact tracing thing, and it makes me realize that this contact tracing, and there are billion-dollar contracts out there for this contact tracing scheme that they're trying to implement worldwide. And I guess they're just working out the bugs right now because their contact tracing for the COVID virus to make sure that everybody is vaccinated. And the funny thing is they're spending billions of dollars on something for a vaccine that doesn't even exist. Makes you kind of think that there might be something else going on. And you know, it falls right into line with the Mark of the Beast, which has been our theme ever since this nonsense started. But it's actually, I call it nonsense because they use nonsense like this COVID virus, which is not even as bad as some of the flu seasons that we've had in just very recent years. So that's why it's nonsense. But what they're doing and using it for is not nonsense. They want to enforce a Mark of the Beast monetary system, totally digital. And perhaps they're getting a little hasty because they've set a date for 2030, and that leaves them 10 years. Well, less than 10 years now because it's already 2020. And if they're going to have it done by 2030, well, they've got almost 10 years to get it done. And that's not a whole lot of time when you're trying to move the whole world in a certain direction. But, you know, I think they just took 10 steps forward quickly here with this COVID lockdown and the contact tracing thing. Is how this is supposed to work is that they can find anyone anywhere anytime, and they can apprehend them and quarantine them at any time on the ruse that it has something to do with public safety because you're contagious. You're dangerous because you have contracted the virus and you have not got the vaccine yet, which they don't even have yet. And that vaccine really, well, that kind of scares me when I see what some of these other vaccine trials where they actually tried them out on the public. And how those turned out. And then you see all these children that have and adults who've been harmed by these vaccines. And I want no part of their trial or their vaccine at any time. But the fact is you show up at your grocery store to buy food and they're there at the door contact tracing you. It'll come to the point where, like in China, where if you don't have the app or however it is that they're tracing you, then you can't get into the store. They're starting to get the idea here. And if you've been traced as someone who is a danger to society, supposedly you're a carrier of the virus or you've been in contact with someone who is, so you can't enter the store and buy or sell. Pretty tricky, huh? So, and then they can come and pick you up, right? Because you have the virus. And I guess they could just use this. You could see how no one would question it when they come and pick you up to isolate you or quarantine you. because you had the virus and you're a danger to everyone around you, and everyone's okay with it because now they feel safe because you, the danger, have been taken out of the picture and have been quarantined, or another word for it is disappeared. And what if you never come back? Interesting. Just how is this mark of the beast going to work? And what are the mechanisms that they're going to use for this? And like I said, pretty much we know that something's not right about this whole thing. That they've shut down practically the world economy for something that's not even as bad as the 2017 flu season flu. Yeah. And I had another video, this one Michael shared on Facebook, and I thought, man, you know, I think I'm going to, let me see, I got so caught up in trying to get my posting out on my website, because they changed the whole thing, and they keep changing things and making them more difficult. So you got an erroneous posting before you got the live this morning posting, because I was trying to figure out how things work now. You know, I've been doing this for years, and suddenly I don't know how it works because they've changed the interface. So anyway, let me see. So I didn't get everything set up the way I like it. Ah, here we go. Let me see if I can get this video on here. Yeah. Okay, I gotta move this over here to get it on the page. And let's do it like this. Okay. Yeah, this was very interesting. And I thought I'd share this with you, this whole thing about these masks that you're wearing. And this one, I'll put a link in the chat room and also on this video to where you can get this original video. I don't know who the man is here, what his name is. He says, if you get headaches while wearing a mask, now you know. And I guess this is mirrored from other sites, so people keep reposting this. But this is very important for all of you people that are seriously wearing your mask. I mean, it amazes me. You go down the road and you'll see people sitting alone in their, driving their automobiles with a mask on and all the windows up. It's like, you know, people are really seriously afraid. This is the mind control that the beast government and the shadow government, their minions, have going on. Anyway, let me play this for you. Let's see. Desktop audio on and play video.
I'm going to do a little test here today. A lot of people are saying they're getting headaches and stuff from wearing a mask that they're requiring us to wear pretty much everywhere we go. And I'm going to test oxygen level under a mask using an OSHA-approved air quality monitor that tests for oxygen levels, hazardous gas levels, LEL, CO, NH3, H2S, stuff like that. This monitor is bump tested every day. It's calibrated every 30 days. OSHA requires 19.5% oxygen to work in space. Look it up. Normal oxygen levels is anywhere from 20 to 21, right in that area. So I'm gonna do a little test here. I'm gonna put the sampling tube at the corner of my mouth, and I'm not exerted, I'm just standing here. So we're gonna put it right here. That's going straight to the air quality monitor. And we'll see what the oxygen level is. So, I've got 20.5, maybe 20.6. That is the oxygen level without the mask. Now, I'm going to set the camera down and put a mask on. Okay. Do the same task hose in the same spot. You can hear the alarm going off. That means that there is a hazardous atmosphere. we'll see what the levels are. 17.4. 17.5, it's starting to go back up. Okay. It's going to clear at 19.5. That's what is required to work in this space. So, if you're wondering about headaches and stuff like that, there's why. Because you're not getting enough oxygen. If you're exerted, working, running, whatever the case may be, it's only going to get worse from there. So, you know, it is what it is. You're not going to see this on the news because they don't want you to know this on the news. So take it for what it's worth.
Okay, so there you have it. It seems fairly indisputable to me that we should not be wearing masks for any long duration or period of time. You should not be working for 8 hours or 4 hours or whatever with a mask. I know, honestly, we got a phone call. Let's see who's calling in here. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
I'm Nicholas Fireman Mike, Akron, Ohio.
Hey, Mike. Good to hear from you.
You too. Hang on. I'm going to pause you here. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
That video you just showed?
Yeah.
I did a similar test yesterday at work. I sat on the bench in the back of the ambulance, took my pulse ox. Now, I used a thing. It's sort of about the size of half of a clothespin.
Uh-huh.
And you put it over your nail bed, and with that light, it reads, it'll tell you the percentage of red blood cells that are carrying oxygen.
Oh.
And we use it as a diagnostic tool. It also gives you your heart rate. So I sat on a bench, put the pulse oximeter on my fingernail, and I was at 98%. 98% of my red blood cells were carrying oxygen, breathing atmospheric air.
Right.
Which is 21% oxygen, which is what you need.
Right.
I put the mask on for a while, and it went down to 96%.
Ah.
Now, and what he says about now, bench, you know, I'm not humping a bunch of gear, an airway bag, and a heart monitor up three flights of stairs wearing a mask, or what he said, I can attest to what he says, because later on, yesterday, we had a full arrest, and the guy weighed nearly 400 pounds. And there were four of us getting him onto the cot. You know, we put him on got a sheet under him and put him on the cot. And just working to get him on the cot with that mask on, I started to get a little dizzy.
Right.
So, what he is saying is legit.
Definitely.
But, anyway, I just thought that might be of interest. Thought I would pass it along.
Okay, well, good confirmation there. Anything else, Mike?
Not right now, but we got a couple hours. I may be calling back.
Okay, we'll be here. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Nick.
Yes, Lord willing, we'll be here. Okay. So, but I do think this whole wearing masks thing is more psychological, but also it does go along with the Bill Gates, Fauci agenda, the whole agenda of reducing population, because people are getting sick because they're not getting the oxygen that their body was made to receive that they need. I mean, it's like, you know, going and living on top of a mountain. You know, you go up higher, the oxygen levels are lower. I'm certain you could get used to it. Maybe. I don't know. But why would you want to? There's plenty of oxygen out here. All you have to do is take off the stupid mask. And I've noticed, I went into, let's see, Smart and Final. It's one of our, bigger box stores here, and I took a bandana, but I wore the bandana, actually I wore it below my bottom lip and walked around the store the whole time I was in there. So basically I just had a bandana below my bottom lip and hanging down, and that seemed to work for a face mask. I didn't have to cover my nose or my mouth. Nobody said it. Some people looked at me because they're, you know, they're all wearing masks. Masks must be worn. That's what the sign says. And they said cloth masks are okay. So I'm just masking my chin and my neck. I don't have to breathe through those, but you know, so I could go in and buy some groceries. So I say, you know, go out there and push the envelope, you know, get a fancy bandana and wear it on your chin, you know, and, leave your breathing spaces fully open so you can get your 20-21% oxygen that your brain needs and you don't have to fall down. Because if you get inside, you get in that store, and if you're wearing, because I know a lot of these people are very serious. I mean, they got that mask tight all the way around. It's like they don't want to let any air in at all. And so you can see probably their levels dropping down to, you know, 15% below. And then, man, you know, if you have reduced oxygen, you're going to die younger. You're going to get sick more often. Anyone's free to wear a mask if they want. If they want to drive in their automobile down the road by themselves with a mask on, I guess they might give it to themselves. They're applying their own illogic to the situation. I have to wear a mask so I don't spread it to others and so I don't spread it to myself. Yeah, what do you do? Okay. So anyway, let me copy. Oh, I put that in the chat room already. Is that in there? Let me see. Oh yeah, there it is. So you've got it. It's in the chat room already. And we'll put it in later. Okay. What else do we got today? Comments, questions, anything anyone wants to call in about, please do. That way I don't have to talk for 2 hours all by myself. Let's see, what else we got? I've got some email, some things over here. Checked in my box. Let's see, got some, let's see. Are you ready for this week's absurdity? And I get these from the Sovereign Man. I don't know how many of you are subscribed to the Sovereign Man, but here's week's absurdities. 8-year-old boy arrested for asking if he could buy candy with fake money. It is just so crazy out there. At a parade in Switzerland, fake money was thrown around for children to collect. The obviously fake cash is called spirit money. Featuring Chinese symbols, it is meant as an offering to the dead so they can prosper in the afterlife. This is going on in Sweden, but that's not the point. An 8-year-old Swiss boy later asked a shop clerk if he could use the play money to buy candy. To be clear, the kid did not try to trick the shopkeeper or pass off the money as real. This is an 8-year-old. To a normal person would laugh and politely explain that only central banks are allowed to use fake money and to counterfeit money. Instead, the shopkeeper opted to call the police. So the boy and his 10-year-old brother were taken to the police station. The police took their mug shots, but did not charge them with a crime. So that's crazy. People cannot think for themselves anymore. I mean, it's just like wearing a face mask, and falling for and being afraid about a flu virus. You were afraid every year. You should be afraid. I mean, if you're going to be afraid now about COVID-19, then why weren't you afraid last year and the year before? Every time the flu season opens up, you should be afraid. Well, you know what? I have to admit, I'm afraid, but I take precautions to alleviate my fear. You know, like I eat right, I try to live healthy, get plenty of oxygen and sunshine, you know, so I try to live my and eat right. And that's where, because, you know, I don't want to get sick and die. And who does? But this, unnatural fear is just crazy. But like I said, you walk around, you see these people with their masks on and they are very serious. They have totally bought in to the mind control of the mainstream media and those that are pushing this whole scenario on them. Oh, here's another one. The police are called over a BB gun in background during virtual class. Because you know a lot of classrooms went virtual. So due to COVID-19 lockdowns, plenty of schools have been holding virtual video classes. In one class, someone in the call took a picture of an 11-year-old boy's screen. It showed him in his bedroom with a BB gun in the background. I mean, this teacher must have really been afraid that this boy was going to pull that BB gun off his wall and shoot her. So, anyway, so the anonymous snitch told the principal, who compared this to bringing a weapon to school. Yeah, that makes sense, right? Because a Boy Scout with a BB gun in his room is totally the same thing as a school shooter. Yes, the school administration became involved and alerted the police department. The police went to the family's home to search for an unsecured weapon. I can't even believe even the police are insane. The teachers are insane. I mean, the insanity that the police would even show up because an 8-year-old boy passed off or asked if he could use the fake money to buy candy that they were giving to the children at the event where the child was. I mean, it seems logical. They're going to give me this fake money, right? It must be worth something somewhere, at least here where they're giving it to me. You know? But no case. And all the shopkeepers say, no, you know, I'm not insane. I can think rationally. You're an 8-year-old child. No, you have to use, you know, real government sanctioned fake money if you want to buy candy here. You can't just use this fake money, spirit money. Yes, but the police, of course, they concluded that no laws had been broken because the boy had a BB gun in his room on the wall. Yeah, he was not a school shooter. I could imagine the teacher cowering for fear, and in fear of her life because the boy had a BB gun on the wall of his room. Okay, the insanity continues. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're going to return after some messages. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we are live this morning. Go to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Click on the chat room button there. You can join the conversation. We got a few people showed up today. Sid, WW, Carrie Ann, Far Out, Fireman Mike, and I'm going to guess Mercury Rising. And is the Mercury rising? Well, if you're wearing a face mask, I'm sure that it is. Okay. This is the day 100 of our covert march to the mark of the beast. The shadow government that works for the Antichrist is carrying out their plan. And you know, I've been going through, Christian history here and just did a series of, we're going through, the beginning of the time of the beginning of the Reformation and going through the history in France, the time that Calvin rose up, and something happened at Paris when Calvin went to Paris. He observed something going on there, and pretty much the same thing that you see going on in the cities now in America, or that is being pushed in these cities, happened in Paris at that time. Only they rose up not against the police, but against Bible-believing Christians, Reformed, those of the Reformed faith. And the effect was that Paris rejected the gospel and decided to kill Christians instead. But you see, they used the same type of fomentation tactics that are being used now in American cities. So there's really nothing new going on here. And we know what the end of it was. It culminated, you know, hundreds of years later into the French Revolution, coming out of France. And then you got these people up there in their, Chaz Chop. I just say, how juvenile are these people? Chaz Chop, as in chopping heads off because, and remembering the French Revolution. Like that's something you really want to emulate. You know, how much do you really know about history that you want to emulate the French Revolution? Well, if you're trying to destroy a nation, well, you want a French-type revolution in that nation, as because that's what happens. Yeah. So we see that going on here. So the Antichrist tactics, the shadow government that works for the Antichrist, their tactics, you know, haven't changed. I'm talking about the shadow government. Now, the Antichrist, his tactics have changed since the end of his overt reign, his overt 1260-year reign, where he burned Christians and Bibles and ran inquisitions and put people on the racks and created armies to slaughter, you know, hundreds of millions of Christians during his 1260-year overt reign. Well, that reign ended about the time of the French Revolution. And so the shadow government has been working in the background ever since. And I do believe that the wound to that head, as it were to death, has been healed. And that is the papal head, because the papacy is the Antichrist. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people, especially those that are public schooled in fake history, in a watered down, washed history, because the Antichrist, he doesn't want you to know what he doesn't want you to know. But if you study history, and that's why I'm going through the rest of the week, the history of Protestantism, and just knowing history, when you learn history, it becomes plain to see what is going on out there in the world. Because history, well, the same things are continue to happen, you know. Like, what's his name? I guess they attribute that to Mark Twain. History doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly does rhyme. And it rhymes all the time. It's just like watching these agitations that are going on in American cities. And then yesterday, day before, I'm reading about it. I'm narrating it so that, you know, this tomorrow, you're going to hear about it. And so listen to the broadcast tomorrow, for Cross the Border broadcast as we go through that period of history. And you'll see the parallel there with what's going on in America. The same tactic, the same players behind the scenes pushing this thing. And they have, you know, now we have people with that are very, very filthy rich and have billions of dollars paying people to go forward and do these things. And these evil people for money, greedy for gain, you know, they've always been with us throughout history, and they're always willing to go forward for, you know, for the reason of greed or the delusional thinking or whatever it is, whatever their cause they think they have, for their idolatry or their sinful way of life and preserving that and spreading it around. I guess they think if they can get more people to join in their sin, that perhaps God, that will vindicate them somehow. Yeah. That they'll be vindicated. And perhaps they even think, you know, that they won't go to hell or that they'll never be punished, or they're just total heathen unbelievers and don't believe in the afterlife. They worship men like Darwin, you know, and his alternative to, you know, you just live and you die and that's it. And that's comforting for them to think, well, I'm just going to sin all I can now and get all the pleasure and take everything I can in this life because I'm, you know, tomorrow we die and that's it. So they have no hope. Now, true Bible believers, of course, they have hope. And hundreds of millions of them had so much hope that was not in this life on this side of the grave. I mean, even if your circumstances are the best on this side of the grave, the end is still the grave and you're dead. Can you conceive of eternal life? Then you should reach for it. And then you think, well, that's delusional. But, you know, are you like an animal? You know, I have cats and dogs and chickens and horses and goats here, and none of them think about death or eternal life. You know, I see a goat, have a couple kids, say one is stillborn or dies soon after it's born. The mother will walk on it like it's not even there, like it was never there, and just look at the one that's still alive and guard it with her life. But the one that's dead is, it's like nothing. They don't fear death. They don't understand death. They don't know death. You know, they can't conceive of the concept of eternal life. But God gave that to us. And, you know, that's evidence that we were made in the image of God. We can conceive that which would be illogical if there were not an eternal life to grasp, to, you know, get a hold of. And when Paul said, keep your eye on the prize, that's what he was talking about. You know, the hope that we have in Christ is beyond the grave. Now, you know, look at me and you can see my picture on the screen. You can see those, you can see my hair is turning gray. And, you know, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, I could dye my hair, but why would I want to? Why would I care? You know, I'm going to have a new head of hair one day and it's going to be beyond the grave. And it's not, and I'm going to get a body in the resurrection that will never grow old. It will never get sick and it will never die. It will not suffer death. You know, speaking of the millennium, and that's one of the objections that the amillennials have about the millennium is that, you know, people will be dying after we're resurrected from the dead. But yeah, there'll be mortals that are living through into the millennial reign of Christ. Otherwise, who are we going to rule and reign with Christ over? What are we going to rule and reign with Christ? Ourselves? No, we're learning self-control, self-government now. That's what we're learning now in this life. That's what we should be learning. Self-government. You know, we don't need to be ruled with a rod of iron in the millennium, because we won't even be tempted to sin in the resurrection. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to. Praise God. I mean, that's my desire. I mean, for every true believer in Christ, our desire is that we would never sin. We would never violate the law of God. But at the same time, here we are in our Adamic flesh, in the corruption of this Adamic nature, and there's nothing we can do about it. What we desire is not within our grasp. Now we are on the road. We're being perfected. Christ is working on us, but we will never be perfect until the resurrection. Until then, we're in the process of being perfected. Christ is working on us through that, you know, repentance thing that I call the repentance road, the narrow way that leads to life. So all of God's people, all of the elect are on the narrow way that leads to life. The Holy Spirit is working through repentance, perfecting them, conforming them to the image of the only begotten Son of God. That is our position, because we long for the day when we will be changed and we will never sin again. So we won't need a government. So what are we going to rule and reign with Christ over? Going to rule and reign in heaven over what? Because as some people say, well, we're ruling and reigning with Christ, and the amillennial resurrection is figurative for when people die. Because you're resurrected now, and when you die, you go to rule and reign in heaven with Christ. I guess maybe we'll spend the second hour talking more about that, because that's the part I'm working on in my book right now, is the millennium, and really refining it. And the more I dig in, because if I could find in the scripture that amillennialism was the thing, was the Holy Spirit interpretation, well, I'd be on it, and I'm still, I guess I'm still considering it, because, I'm looking for arguments that challenge, that are challenging enough from the amillennial camp that I can come over to their side. But I find, so far they've got nothing that I can't overthrow with the scripture itself. So, we'll get into some of the specifics of that in the second hour, since I'm not getting any calls or questions in the chat room. I guess I'll just have to jump back into what I'm working hard on here behind the scenes. And I think most of my book is already written until the last section, which perhaps the last 3 or 4 chapters will be primarily around the future things, the millennium, and what God's Word says about that. And I don't know, and I'm still having conversations and some debate with people out there, and I thank those people that are debating and conversing and giving me ideas and challenging me, because I want to be challenged, because if I am wrong, I want to discover it. My mind, when I heard of amillennialism, I seriously have to consider it. If there's another thing out there that I seriously have to consider, another alternative, I will seriously consider it. But, most alternatives are easily overthrown with the scripture, and some not more so easily. Because some of them, the way they're posited, can be even beguiling, because they sound very good, but if it's wrong, you'll find something in the scripture to help you overturn it. So you really have to take every challenge seriously. And I do. I want, everyone out there that's, especially those that are, I'm conversing with and debating on the subject as an ongoing thing. I take everything very seriously. Okay. Well, let me check out the chat room, see if anybody's got anything to say here. Oh, I guess they're still thinking about that video. Carrie Ann says, great vid. And that was the guy who used the oxygen monitor to determine unequivocally, if you wear a mask, you are going to lack oxygen. And the guy just put his mask on and started talking when the monitor alarm went off, because there wasn't a sufficient amount of oxygen in the workspace, according to OSHA, because they said you have to have 19.5% oxygen in any work atmosphere or any working environment. That's OSHA regulations. So they have a monitor for that, and that's great. That guy put that monitor in his mask and started talking, and immediately that monitor dropped below the OSHA minimum. Yeah, immediately. So that's pretty serious business, you know. So take off your mask and breathe in the fresh air. That's all I got to say. And when you go, don't wear a mask. Let them challenge you, you know. Or do like I did. Put a bandana below your bottom lip. Yeah. I mean, why should you be starved for oxygen? Okay. Well, I guess I'm going to just have to jump into some of these arguments in the next hour, since, I don't know, there's a, listen to our good, we have a lot of good broadcasts here on First Amendment Radio, so most of you are probably already listening, got your Prophecy Reality News app, listening to David Knight in the afternoon. He'll bring you all the latest on COVID and angles and ideas and that you never even thought of, and other things too. There's a lot going on out there in the world, and he's got 3 hours to kill, and he does a much better job at keeping his mouth moving than I can. Of course, I'm sure he works really hard, but he doesn't have another job. I'm pretty sure of that. So he can spend 3 hours, and he has staff and everything to feed him news items. I don't have any staff here. It's just me, and there's nobody else here. My daughter does editing, but she's not really, her mind isn't into what I'm doing on the radio for some reason. And, you know, you can't make people do stuff or pay attention to stuff or control what they think, can you? So, if I were to die today, I think First Amendment Radio would crash, unfortunately. That's very unfortunate. I'm trying to get some of my daughter and my grandchildren to pick up the baton, so to speak, and slowly take this thing over. Yeah, as I get older, I'll keep doing what I'm doing, but I just don't need to do all the mechanical stuff here, you know. Yeah, that would be nice. Plus, it's nice to pay the bills, and I figure as long as I work for the Lord, that He'll take care of me. So, got to keep this this thing going. But you know, it's like, yeah, it's hard to go against the world, especially when the world owns all of the money and has all of the guns and all of the political power. And then, you know, going through history, I have to realize that it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And if He chooses to work through me or you or, you know, a million other saints out there on the earth right now with little ministries like this to reach His people, well, that's His way of doing things. You know, if it was all coming from a central location, powered by money and armies, well, things that are powered by money and armies can come to an abrupt end. But the truth that is by His Spirit and spread out so far and so wide, you can try to stifle it in one area, and it pops up in another. You can, you know, it's amazing. The gospel being watered by the blood of the martyrs. The more they martyr, the more the truth spreads. It's amazing. Because when people are willing to lay down their lives for a truth, well, people start to think about that truth. They must really believe in the prize that awaits them, if they're not afraid of death. And, you know, it's kind of a good thing to not be afraid of death, because we're all going to die. Yeah, our mortal existence as we know it in our corrupted flesh, or our corrupting flesh, it will come to an end. There's no doubt about it. Nobody, it doesn't matter what anyone says. No, it doesn't matter what all the techies are thinking about how they're going to You know, I heard, I saw one article here, and I think that was on Technocracy News, about how they think that now, if you're middle-aged, that you should be able to live 500 years because of the technologies that are developing. Well, I still have yet to see many people living beyond 110 or 20, you know. A very small class of people living beyond that. You know, there's the mile marker. I'll believe you when you start, when you get people. And plus, that's going to take another 50 years if you get someone. And then I look at the people that are that age and I'm going, man, you know, that frame is wore out. I mean, if I'm going to live for 500 years, I don't want it to wore out old frame, you know. That's why we need a resurrection. We get that, you know, Jesus was 33. And if we're going to be like him, then we're going to be 33 when we're resurrected. We're going to have our body at 33 as it should have been, because there's not going to be any crippled or lame or blind or halt or anything like that in the resurrection. That's our hope. That's, you know, that's the prize that Christ sets before us. Now it's up to us to go after it. Get after it. If you're the elect, you will go after it, and you will not allow anything to rob you of what Christ did for you when he paid the price for your sins. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition, and I'm Nicholas Arthur. Well, in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about prophecy, and I'm guessing I'll probably lose a lot of people when I start discussing some of the intricacies, I should say, of, this is on Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, Part 11, the last video I did on amillennialism. I've got, let me go there and open that up so I can, got some challenges there from one of my viewers and on my blog. He said, starts out this conversation here, and this is from Mark, just first name, that's all we get. Okay, where's that conversation start? Oh, he says, I have come out of dispensational premillennial eschatological view, and am searching for the pure biblical truth on these topics. He says, however, I believe you misrepresent the amillennial view, as well as Sam Storm's observations. And remember, I went through Sam Storm's published on the internet a challenge with so many points, and I didn't need to misrepresent anything. But he continues, I've read Sam Storm's book, Kingdom Come, and the point he was making is, how can physical death continue in the alleged millennium when the New Testament seems to teach that death will be the last enemy destroyed at the second coming of Christ? Okay, well, there's a fallacy there in his question. He's saying death will be destroyed, will be the last enemy destroyed at the second coming of Christ. So the at the second of coming of Christ is an assumption. Okay. And I know what the assumptions are based on. Some statements that Christ made during parables or lessons on other topics. Okay. But that's not, he wasn't giving a discourse on eschatology. He says, I believe you're missing the context of 2 Peter 3, which I see no need to force ideas of an earthly millennium into this passage. But the passage is an indication of the Lord's patience with mankind as he desires all to come to salvation before the judgment. Yet again, it could also be another indication that 1,000 years does not necessarily need to be exact and literal. Okay? So, more assumptions. He says, now I'm not convinced the amillennial view is correct, but I do see major problems with premillennialism. Yes, even historical premillennialism. And I would encourage you to do a non-biased comparison of the two. So I answered him. I have copied Sam's comments directly from his own book and online challenge. I really have no need to misrepresent them. I don't have time to. Why would I want to misrepresent them? Because I'm trying to find the truth, not defend a position seriously. So I look at every challenge seriously and consider it unbiased. Also, there are varying amillennial views, which I neither have any need to misrepresent. I do not need to force the millennium into the 2 Peter 3 day of the Lord. The later revelation, that is Revelation 20, requires me to harmonize the earlier text with it. And they do harmonize effortlessly. So there is no force to harmonize everything that is said throughout the epistles, the gospels, and even the Old Testament prophets. Nothing needs to be forced at all. Everything easily harmonizes, effortlessly harmonizes with the Revelation 20 millennial reign of Christ. Yeah, physical, literal, plain reading of the text, millennium. However, the greatest hurdle for me is the first resurrection event. And I found this out by doing more research, and I decided to read again what E.B. Eliot has to say. And E.B. Eliot opened this idea up to me. So we know this has been around for quite a while. He was dealing with the same things, you know, 150 years ago, with the same challenges. And, of course, you know, turning them every which way and looking at them, because if I could find something substantial that made the amillennialist view stand up as high as the premillennial view, yeah, then I would have to equally consider it. And I have, but as far as a landing place, well, it falls short. So anyway, I tell him the amillennialist converts what Jesus termed to be born again into the Revelation 20 first resurrection. However, this is a very important point, a hurdle I don't think the amillennialists can overcome. You know, it's like the Achilles heel of amillennialism, at least one aspect, because there are several trains of amillennialism. There are several different tracks for amillennialism. And I think this would apply to the most popular one. But anyway, every occurrence of the resurrection in Scripture follows a corresponding or prerequisite like death. Okay? I may need to repeat that. Every occurrence of a resurrection in the Scripture follows a corresponding or prerequisite like death. That means a death that is corresponding to the resurrection. They are alike. To be born again is not a resurrection, because we were first born in sin. That's the, you're born and then you're born again. We were never spiritually alive, so never suffered a prerequisite death. And then in Revelation 20, there's no intimation that the prerequisite death of those resurrected was in any way spiritual. Lazarus and Jesus bodily died before being bodily resurrected. So it is in Revelation 20. Those that take part in the first resurrection are the same who were bodily beheaded, martyred, or otherwise died bodily in Christ. Should I repeat that? So it is in Revelation chapter 20. Those that take part in the first resurrection are the same who were bodily beheaded, martyred, or otherwise died bodily for Christ. The Revelation 20 first resurrection only supports a bodily resurrection. And see, that's the major tenet of amillennialism, that the first resurrection of chapter 20 of the Revelation is figurative for a spiritual resurrection. However, the text doesn't support it. Those that are resurrected, that take part in the first resurrection, are those that were bodily beheaded, martyred, or otherwise died bodily in Christ, as we will be. You know, I could be martyred, or I could die in Christ as an old man in my bed. Or I could fall down one day, working vigorously for the gospel and for the truth of God's word. I would die in Christ. So check it out for yourself. Read the first five, six chapters of Revelation chapter 20, and you'll see those who are resurrected are the same ones who were bodily beheaded, martyred, or otherwise died bodily for Christ. There is no spiritual death and resurrection intimated in chapter 20, only a physical bodily death, therefore a bodily resurrection. So I tell him, thank you for your challenge. I've always endeavored to settle for nothing less than what the most thorough Holy Spirit examination of Scripture may reveal. As it stands now, amillennialism fails that scrutiny. And that's where it stands for me. And so he answers me back. He says, thanks for the reply. I appreciate your points and see how they fit a consistent literal interpretation. Yeah, what people mean by literal interpretation may vary. So I'm not going to put too much bank on what he's terming a consistent literal interpretation. He says, this is important to consider, however. I also can see how the amillennialists argue for the spiritual context as opposed to physical. Well, they have no argument that they can get from the scripture. It must be assumed. There is nothing in the context that says, I am speaking spiritually. I am spiritually speaking. You know, it's like when Jesus, he was out there and he was saying some hard things. He's saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. And of course, there in the text, it says that he was speaking spiritually. He didn't actually mean that we need to drink his, blood and eat his flesh. He was not, establishing eat other people. Oh, that word slips me. I'm having a teenage moment here. But, he wasn't starting a cult where people eat other people, or you eat flesh and drink blood like a vampire or something like that. He said that he was speaking spiritually. That's what it says in the text. It points it out so that there can be no doubt. But then you jump over to Revelation chapter 20, it expresses a physical bodily death of those that are going to be resurrected. Therefore, it's a bodily resurrected. It's the same kind of resurrection as there was a death. Okay? So he says, this seems to be valid to me when I consider John 5, 24 25. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Well, yeah, we were born dead. We did not die. We never had life. Okay? We were born in sin. There was no life in us. That's why it's a born again. But that's still, he says, verily I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Okay, that's the hour that's coming. That's not being born again. So first he speaks of being born again when you're passed from death into life, and then he says the hour is coming. Okay, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Okay? Now, I'm not looking at the context of this. But anyway, he says, we can see that physical death is not a prerequisite for spiritual resurrection. See, that's a no-no right there. Because now he's inserting the word resurrection into a biblical reference where it does not appear. See, he says, we can see that physical death is not a prerequisite for a spiritual resurrection, when it should say, we can see that physical death is not a prerequisite for being born again. That would be honest. So he's imputing something into the scripture that is not there. If he will look up the word resurrection in every appearance of the word resurrection, he will never see it connected with being born again. Okay? He'll always see that it's bodily, that there is a bodily death and a bodily resurrection that occur together. Here the Lord states, pass from death to life. They shall hear and live. But see, there's no bodily death or spiritual death for those that were never spiritually alive. So it's not a resurrection event. Okay, that's the problem. And like I said, I believe this is it may be an Achilles heel if it's not the only one. The other one is that there's nothing to support it. There's nothing explicit in the scripture that says in chapter 20 that this is to be spiritually taken and not literally. As a matter of fact, everywhere else in the scripture that the resurrection is spoken of, the contrary seems to be the case, that it is a bodily death and a bodily resurrection, because you can't resurrect something that never died. And the indication in the text itself is that it is bodily. He says, it can be concluded those who hear and live are already dead in a spiritual sense. True, but they didn't die. They were already dead. That's the point. Okay? The only resurrection we're going to experience is after we die bodily. That will be it. It's going to be a bodily death and a bodily resurrection. That's what we're waiting for. The resurrection, bodily. He says, it can be concluded that those who hear and live are already dead in a spiritual sense, total depravity, original sin passed down through Adam. True. No problem with that. But they have not died yet. Okay? They go through a process of being sanctified. That's a process of being conformed to the image of Christ. But that's, That's not the same thing. And nowhere is the word resurrection used for that process in the scripture. So I'm going to go with the scripture definition, the definition for resurrection that I get from the scripture, and I'm going to apply that. I'm not going to personally take it upon myself to apply it to a born again experience, nor am I going to apply it to a sanctification process, because the scripture does not apply it there. He continues, Jesus then goes on to refer to what appears to be a physical resurrection in verses 28 and 29. I struggled with the first and second resurrections in Revelation 20 as well, but this chapter in John seems to explain it. It seems to me you're going to hear what you want to hear if you really want to hear the amillennial. If you want to believe that, then everything is going to seem to explain it, but nothing is going to explicitly state it. I want to go with what is explicitly stated and apply that. And if something isn't explicitly stated, then it's going to be problematic. I'm going to go with the plain reading of the text and what is explicitly stated. He says, but this explanation has made the most sense to me thus far. And I guess that's his own explanation that he's just given us. So I'm not sure what he's really referring to there, whether this explanation, meaning my explanation, or the one he just reviewed for me. So it's not very exacting to begin with. So you can see some of the things that, in the debate over amillennialism versus premillennialism, and we're going both historic, not even dispensational. I'm not even debating. That's a whole different debate as far as I'm concerned, and I cover that already in my book. It will be, and I've covered it in other books that I've written, dispensational. So that will be in the front of my book in the interpretation section there. But the debate here on the millennium is going to be basically between amillennial and premillennial, historic or reformed belief, not dispensational. Okay. I'm going to keep that out of the argument because I think to rightly divide the Word of God, that those arguments need to be divided one from the other. They should not be mixed up. And I expressed that is one of the problems that I see with every book I've read that supports amillennialism, is they mix those arguments up as if they're the same thing. And I say that they throw out the baby of premillennialism, or the literal plain reading of the text of chapter 20, the baby of the physical millennial reign of Christ, with the bathwater of dispensationalism. And I say, yes, the bathwater of dispensationalism should be thrown out, but we better keep the baby. Probably be a good idea, because the baby is birthed in the Bible itself by the plain reading of the text. And everything else referring to the age to come is easily and perfectly harmonized with that 1,000-year period that is expressed from the beginning, when the first resurrection takes place, to the end, where the second resurrection takes place. But blessed are those that have part in the first resurrection. We definitely want to have part in that first resurrection, but it is not being born again, because those that have part in the first resurrection, it says, will not suffer the second death. That means they won't be resurrected again. They don't have to worry about dying again. Okay? That's what it means. Now let's see if we got any comments or questions in the chat room. Oh, cannibals. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you for that, Fireman Mike. It's my teenage moment there. every once in a while I lose a word. And I know that 10 people, at the same time I'm losing it, 10 people are thinking of it. That's right. That's the way that works. Those teenage moments, that's still, those are a carryover from many, many years ago when I was a teenager. If I was wearing a mask, I could blame it on that. Wait, I'm having a COVID moment. Let me take my mask off. Now I got it. Now I can think clearly. Yes, I'm hoping that everybody else can think clearly. Okay, well, I don't know what I'm going to talk about for the rest of the hour, but I've got 3 minutes to think about it before I have to come back. So here are some messages, and I'll see you on the other side. Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And I'm Nicholas. And, well, as you can see, when you jump into Bible prophecy and you dig deep, it can be quite contentious with a lot of people and dealing with all the intricacies and all of the things that people bring up. Let's see, Carrie Ann has a question. Have you noticed all of the people denying Paul and also Messiah? Yeah, there's a lot of Paul deniers out there. I've noticed them, and actually dealt with this 20 years ago. There's a whole movement of people throwing out everything, and they only read that which Paul didn't write in the scripture, and then there's the Jesus word only movement. So, and of course, there's always people who deny the Messiah. I mean, that's the whole point. You know, I was looking at the world scene and I'm thinking, well, how is this going to turn? You know, I mean, you look at how the world, how they're turning on, people who have different ideas. Like, if you have a cogent, you know, a coherent thought on something like Black Lives Matter. Perhaps if you go to blacklivesmatter.com and read their website, it's atrocious what they believe and what they're pushing. You know, it should be, black Marxist lives or something, because, you know, because Marxist lives matter or whatever, because it's a totally Marxist. These people just happen to be black and are using the hate and race card to stir things up toward their Marxist ends. It's basically all that is. And so how this is going to turn is to turn on Christians or true Bible believers. Well, it seems like, you know, if we read our Bible and we read toward the end that people are going to start being beheaded for not participating or in the buying and selling system of the mark of the beast, you know, that's where I talked about earlier about the contact tracing system that they're putting in place and spending billions of dollars to do. Say, once that system is in place, they can turn it to attack anybody they want, for any reason they want. Yeah. And everyone's identified now. They got me. They know who I am. I mean, I'm on the internet. They see my postings. They know where I stand. I'm one of those, you know, Protestant Reformed Bible believers. Yeah. And, you know, they're never going to turn me. You know, they might, you know, you got to watch out. Turn off your cell phone, because they're probably figuring out how to contact trace you without the app. You know, in China, you have to have the app. It probably comes on your phone and runs whether you like it or not. And that's what this whole Google, system that operating system. And that's what it is. It's a Google operating system. Well, they call it Android. Well, who owns it? Google. Can they make anything? I mean, I got commercials on my phone. This is my phone. I don't want any commercials on it. I just zing them away. But they're popping up all the time. You know, the little drop-down menu, you'll see that stuff there all the time. They want me to go to their online casino or whatever, you know. Going, why is this stuff on my phone? How do I get rid of this? Is there another operating system? I can get Google, or maybe I can get a Microsoft Windows operating system. Certainly Bill Gates wouldn't want to control my phone, would he? So I guess you'd have to leave your phone behind and or leave it somewhere so it's always there, because they can track you with it. And if they want you, they decide it's time, well, all they got to do is use whatever ruse that's popular, and they can pick you up. And so, we know it's going to happen because the scripture says it's going to happen. And it's so obvious that's where we're headed. I mean, it's unavoidable. We already have Satan's money. Yeah, that's right. We don't have gold and silver. So, okay, Ty, see you later. Is wearing masks part of the new religion? Bill Gates and Fauci are the high priests. The COVID God has no ears to hear or eyes to see with. The people run when none are chasing. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for that, Ty. He's got to run. Let's see, setting apps notification, choose Google and turn notifications off. They will never stop tracking you though, so you can turn notifications off. Yeah, I know, there's so many layers of menus and stuff in there, you gotta search it all out. And, so I have to turn off, I want the notifications I want. I don't want the things I don't want. But whatever, I'll check it out, WW. Thanks for that. Settings, apps, notifications. Yes, follow the menu. Choose Google and turn notifications off. Okay, maybe I can get rid of those annoying gambling ads and stuff. And if I turn on my little smartphone here and I got it locked, not saying that the authorities couldn't get into it if they wanted to. Well, let's see. I got my coronavirus updates. An airline that does expensive high-risk deportation flights for the U.S. has received $67 million in coronavirus bailout funds and more. So they're giving me coronavirus updates. I've never asked for them, but there they are. That's today's coronavirus update. And I have my verse of the day, and no gambling today. Oh shucks! Or WW says, give the phone to a child. I don't know any kids. Oh baby. And it's still shaking. Whoa. The earth is still shaking. This is a live earthquake in California. As a matter of fact, I got a little adrenaline rush going right now. Wow, that was quite a shaker. That was a long one. He says, I think I felt that in Oregon. Whoa. Yeah, my adrenaline is really going now because, I felt like running for the door, to tell you the truth. Whew. Well, I got that notification. Did you get that one? Did you feel that, Carrie Ann? Let's see, where are you at, Carrie Ann? I don't think you felt that one. I think you're too far away from me. You're over there in the northeast or central north or something, aren't you? Whew. Wow. Did you see anything shaking? Like my microphone going back and forth? Because it was. Well, that just blew every thought I had away. Yeah, my daughter's going to come running over here in a minute. Oh, Wisconsin. Yeah, I knew that's where you were. Somewhere around there. Yeah. So you didn't feel that earthquake. If you felt that earthquake, that was the biggest one. Because it would have had to been somewhere. They put a, Google heard me complaining. So they put an earthquake under my house. Whew. Yeah, we had one, I think, last week, just a little one when I was sitting here. And I texted my daughter, did you feel that? I don't have to text her now. I know she felt this one. Because who didn't? Yeah, the whole town felt that one. Yeah, you could hear the rattling doors here. My doors were rattling. So, wow. Okay, I need to recover from that. I mean, it still feels traumatic when you, because I felt quite a number of earthquakes over my life here in California, but still, when you get one that's that big, you feel like running for the door. So that one was close. Probably out in the desert here close by or something. But that one's going to make the news. Last one, I didn't get any notice of it at all. Yeah. Okay, so what was I talking about? Before every thought got shaken out of my brain? Wow. Well, I was talking about something, but I can't remember now. Everything got away from me. Okay, I'll try to get my brain back on the track here. Oh, somebody, Saved by the Bell here. Your name and where are you calling from? You're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas, Fireman Mike again.
Yeah.
I just pulled up today's earthquakes near California.
Uh-huh.
They have a list of them. The first one said 6 minutes ago, 2.1 magnitude, 6 kilometer depth, Lone Pine.
Lone Pine.
I don't know how near you are to Lone Pine.
Well, yeah, that would be in the southern Sierra foothills where I am, or close by. Because if that was only a 2.0, that had to be really close to me.
It was strange. Your whole studio was shaking.
Yes, it was.
on the video, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was shaking. So that was real close. Lone Pine must be wherever that is real close to me, but I'm sure that it's in my neighborhood because a 2.0.
Yeah, this says 17 kilometers south-southeast of Lone Pine.
Yeah.
But anyway, just thought I'd pass it along.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, glad you're all right.
Yeah, everything's fine. Thanks. Bye. So there it is. That was just a little earthquake. It was just very close to me, so that's why it shook so much. Wow. Okay. Well, boy, I should have been wearing my mask for that, huh? I'd have probably fainted if I had my mask on. And plus, I'd be mumbling during the whole broadcast. So anyway, everyone feel free to not wear your mask when you go in the store. And I think they're relaxing a little bit more. People are becoming a little more easy. That's why nobody said anything to me. Because I remember when they first did this, it was very important when I walked into the store without a mask and started walking around. And they said, oh, you have to have a mask or we won't check you out. I said, okay. So I walked over to the meat department. They had paper towels there. And I took a paper towel and rolled out about that much so I'd have enough to wrap around real loosely. That was my first experience in someone telling me I had to wear a mask in their store. But like I said, I'll rebel against idiotic requirements every chance I get. Yeah. So I hope you'll join me in rebelling against idiotic edicts by little dictators and people like Fauci But it's kind of cool. You watch the TV every time Fauci is on now. He has his mask on. I'm sure he can't wait to get off the TV so he can take the darn thing off his face. Yeah. He doesn't wear that thing all the time. You probably won't see Fauci going down the road with a mask on his face because he knows better. He even said it like at the beginning of this whole thing when they were telling people, oh, don't wear masks. They don't work. But suddenly now they work. Yeah. It's crazy. Okay, so what can we do here? Well, go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and make sure you press the follow button there so you can get a notification when I do a live broadcast. And I'll try to schedule a few more earthquakes so that you can enjoy those with me as I go through them. This one got by me today, but it showed up just in time. Yes. And so anyway, that way you won't miss any earthquakes or anything else that's going on here at our Cross the Border ministry. And make sure you listen to tomorrow's broadcast on Cross the Border. It's from 9 a.m. Pacific time to 11 a.m. Pacific time. So there's 2 hours of history there, but I think if you listen, you'll find it very interesting. It's a very interesting and compelling period of history with a lot of intrigue. And the intrigue sounds so familiar when I was reading through it that I think you'll go, yeah, that shadow government, the Antichrist and his shadow government, they're still up to their old tricks. I mean, they were doing it even then, you know, fomenting unrest and riots and murder. Yeah. And to go, wow, that sounds a lot like today. Except, you know, because of so many years of the Reformation and its effect on society, well, we don't have out and out murder running everywhere in the streets. I mean, there's nothing going on where I'm at. Of course, we got a bunch of white people that are black BLM adherents, and it's kind of stupid. They show up. They're going to have a Black Lives Matter rally in the near town, the near big, small city to me. And only white people show up. I think the greatest concentration of black people we have here in my county is the nearby town of Tulare, where my offices and mail drop is. And, I don't think they had one either. So they don't seem too worried about it. There's no endemic racism here. Seriously, there isn't. I mean, I'm a minority here. The blacks are more of a minority. I mean, there's, you know, more whites than blacks, but there are more Hispanics than there are white people here. Most of my neighbors are Hispanic, and they're all my friends, you know. They all esteem me highly, and I esteem them highly, so, because we've helped each other as neighbors. So we have no problems. And if there were any black people in my neighborhood, it'd be treated the same by all of us, certainly. But, you know, there's always going to be personal racism out there. People, you know, you can't control what people think. And there are groups of people out there, and but that's not systemic racism. That's over with. That's gone. Those days are bygone, you know. So them trying to stir it up, it's just people who want to riot and kill and murder. They have murder in their heart already. So they respond to that as if it's real because they want it to be real. You know, but simply because you want something to be real doesn't mean that it is. But they want to believe it because it, you know, it supports their own agenda. It vindicates the hatred and the avarice, the covetousness and idolatry that is in their heart. So it vindicates them. That's why people go along with it. And especially those that really act it out. And then there are a lot of people who feel guilty, you know, because we are all guilty. So they actually go for it and they become self-loathing white people that, you know, that buy into the narrative. But that's because they don't know history. You know, more white people suffered than black people in history. The Inquisitions were not against black people, unless they happened to be Christians too. But people of all races suffered together in the Inquisitions. And, what blacks have suffered in slavery and murder, can never even come near to what Bible-believing Christians have suffered in the past. So, Protestant lives matter. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what color the Protestant is. Their lives matter to Christ. He died for them. So the most important thing is to be part of God's elect. And if you're not part of His elect, then all I can say is, you know, get after it. There's nothing more important. You don't want to miss out on that prize of eternal life. Yeah. Let's see. The whole point of COVID plan is to get folks like BLM to sign up with the movement. They have Malcolm X on TV before the COVID is over. Yeah, have you gone to their website? Check them out. See, the mini mart here still has a sign, remove masks and hoodies. Yeah, I think they're more worried about robbery than, next to the sign that says masks are required. That's great. We need a picture of that. That needs to go viral, man. Yeah. Need to get a picture of that, WW. The mini mart still has a sign. Remove masks and hoodies. The sign next to it says, masks are required. That's great. Yeah. I guess they're not worried about being robbed anymore. They're more worried about an invisible flu virus that's not even as bad as the 2017 flu season flu. That's the truth. And it's a wonder how many things actually the COVID virus has been the cure for so many other things that used to cause death last year and years before. Cause now all those people died of the COVID virus just trying to get the numbers up and it still hasn't worked. Yeah. Let's see. Cover with cover. And the neo-Nazis will have a new Hitler ready for election time. Well, the Sleepy Joe out there, I don't know. I saw, I peered in on, Trump's rally, and there's a lot of people there. I've never seen, that many people at any of the, other rallies for the Democrats in recent years, or ever, when I come to think of it. So Trump is quite a personality anyway. And, he'll pack them in, I guess. It didn't fill the state. I heard the conservatives out there and the Democrats and Yahoo News saying, oh, he didn't fill up the upper tiers in that 20,000 people stadium. So, well, but he only had, 10 or 15,000. My goodness, that's terrible. I wonder, we had to get Joe over there and see how many people he can get. People rather just stay home and sleep than go and fall asleep in front of Sleepy Joe. I tell everyone already, oh, I already had the COVID and now I'm Typhoid Mary. Get very strange looks saying that. You're just an agitator, WW. That's all you are. You're an agitator. That's it. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time.